الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أقصر من جشائك، أو من جشائك ترديد مني، فإن أطول الناس جوعا يوم القيامة أكثرهم شبعا في الدنيا. I would like to congratulate all of you respectable brothers and sisters on the arrival of the holiest month in the Islamic calendar, which is the month of Ramadan, considered to be Ghurratu Shuhur, that means the most significant among all the months. And the month which is specific to the ziyafat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكُمْ قَدْ دُعِيتُمْ فِيهَ إِلَى ziyafati اللَّهِ. You have been invited to be a guest of Allah. And the month of Rahmat, Allah is Rahim throughout the year, always. Rahmat is Ainu Dhat. It's not just specific to one month or one time frame. Even before the creation of the solar system and the earth and the moon and the sun and the time, for us the humans, Allah was still Rahim. Rahmat cannot be restricted to a time and place. So, but this month specifically, we understand that Allah is ready to provide His Rahmat to any person who is ready to respond. Earlier, before the month of Ramadan arrived, we have to say Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Sometimes we say before we seek the dua 10 times. If you say Ya Allah 10 times, Allah responds, inshallah. But in the month of Ramadan, if you say Ya Allah once, that's enough. This is the difference. Likewise, the month of Ramadan is the month of Quran. Inna anzalallahu fi laylatil qadr. And we all have learned, I remember in one of my previous speeches a while ago, I have mentioned to you that there's a difference between inzal and tanzil. Inzal is daf'i, is all of a sudden, all at once, whereas tanzeel is tadriji and gradual in nature. So in Anzallahu fi Laylatul Qadr, our Mufassireen have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the entire Quran all of a sudden, all at once, on the qalb of Rasulullah. So the inzal of Quran, that means revelation of Quran all at once, took place in the night of Qadr, whereas when it comes to Tanzeel, the gradual revelation, which is related to the people, because people are not prepared to receive it. We have isti'dadat, which are different. Our isti'dad and susceptibility, receptance, reception, our acceptance of the nur and teachings of Allah is different, and not just different but also gradual. We gradually become deserving of receiving things. So when it comes to the gradual process of the people being able to receive, we find the same Quran that was Prophet was eligible to receive at once, in one shot. We, the humankind, were eligible to receive the same Quran in 23 years. This shows how far away we are. So we deserve the process of Tanzeel, whereas he deserves the process of Inzal. So Quran, month of Ramadan, is another significance, is that it's the month of the Inzal of Quran, the month where the whole Quran was revealed on the Holy Prophet. So كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَبِيعٌ وَرَبِيعُ الْقُرْآنِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. Every month has, everything has a spring, or a spring season in other words, and the spring for the Quran is the month of Ramadan. So in this month we should recite the Holy Quran and give a specific time specifically assigned to the recitation and understanding and practice of the Holy Quran. So we increase in our uns bil Quran, which is required. That means being familiar, getting familiar with the teachings of the Holy Quran. So this is the month of Quran, and likewise it's the month of fasting. Month of fasting, fasting is nothing new for Muslim Ummah. It's a month which is a fariva and duty that we share with the previous generations. Kutaba alaykum siyam. Fasting has been made wajib on you, fariva on you. Kama kutiba, the way it was made a fariva. Alalladhina min qablikum, on those who were before you. And the reason why all this is going on, the hadaf and goal that we pursue out of fasting is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, maybe you guys become muttaqi. So abstaining not just from the food and drinks and all those 9 mubtilat that we have in the Sharia that invalidates our fast. You can ask in the Q&A any question if you have after I just finish this small introductory speech as per the schedule. Fasting doesn't mean only that we abstain from those 9 mubtilat and invalidating agents, but of course it is abstaining from the harams and the sins related to every part of our body. So our eyes and ears and tongue and hands and feet and all the a'za and jawarih, parts and limbs of our body should be abstaining and behaving well towards the Creator and doing as commanded and not to transgress any red lines and limits. This is the real expectation from every mu'min. But from those who are the beloved servants of Allah, the expectation is not just that. That's higher than even this. So from those who are beloved of Allah, it is expected to have siyam al-fikr. That means keeping our imaginations away from harams and sins. So if we don't even think about the sins. We are not supposed to even think about the harams or things with which Allah is displeased. So this keeping our imaginations and tafakkur and thoughts away from harams is not haram. You know, thinking about haram is not haram in the Sharia, but what our ulama of akhlaq have mentioned when they give the example. The example is such that if it's just like you light up a candle or some fire in a room. So in the middle of the room you light up a candle or fire. Of course this candle cannot burn the whole room. But the scholars of akhlaq have mentioned that after a while your room and the walls and the ceiling will become black because of the smoke. That's exactly the example they have given for those who think about harams in their minds. It's not haram to think about a haram or think about you doing a haram, but it certainly makes our thinking, imagination, our brain, our mind tainted and impaired, and converts it into an impure mind. So Siyamul Fikr, keeping our minds away from the harams in its imaginations, is the highest level, which is the sign of the beloved people of Allah. And above all, we should remember that what Imam Ali alayhi salam has mentioned in his maktub, in one of his letters, that in hadha deen kana asiran fi aidil ashrar, this religion was a captive in the hands of the evil. This religion was held a captive, was a captive in the hands of the evil. يُعْمَلُ فِيهِ بِالْهَوَىٰ وَيُطْلُبُ بِهِ الدُّنْيَا. So personal desires was being done, in other words, done in the name of the religion, and dunya was being pursued through the religion. So we need to make our religion. Religion protects us. Your religion protects you and your spirituality. When you abstain from the haram in the month of Ramadan or in any other time in our life, we are actually defending ourselves by practicing the religion, if we realize. So religion protects us, but we have to protect the religion. The religion cannot protect itself. Religion protects us, and we need to protect the religion. So the benefit that we get if our religion is protected by us is that it will guarantee for us that when you protect the religion and you take it out of the captivity of our desires and seeking dunya out of it, talab dunya, when you protect your religion from these two things, from away from your desires and wishes and away from seeking dunya out of the religion, making a fortune out of the religion. If you protect your religion from these two things, then your religion will make sure, first of all, your religion will make sure that you don't get attached to this world. That's the first thing your religion will make sure. You will never end up getting attached to its material belongings. Second of all, your religion will make sure that you acquire and love towards ma wara'u tabi'a, the metaphysical world. And what happens after these two things take place? When you don't get attached to this material world and its material belongings, and you don't get you get attached to the mawara'u tabiyya, the metaphysical world, what happens is that you will no longer have the wish to stay in this world, and you will no longer have the scare and fear of death remaining in your self. These are the two benefits that we'll get, obviously, when you don't get attached to the material belongings and you have you get attached to the metaphysical world, you would love to die, and you have no desire to stay in this dunya. once you reach this level that you don't have any desire to stay in this dunya, and you reach the level where you have no fear of death remaining in your soul, that is the time where your soul is ready to fly. And that's how we get the taqarrub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our soul departs, taqarrub means getting closer. Getting closer? How can you get close when you are stuck with the matter? In order to get above and beyond the matter, thinking out of this material box, you have to fly out of matter. How can you fly when you are attached with matter? So you know you need to be detached. Who detaches you? When the fear of death is gone, you are no longer attached. How the fear of death is gone? If you protect your religion away from your own desires. This is the whole sequence. That's how we get closer to Allah. I will end my supposedly strong, small speech, which became quite longer. So I will end my speech on this point, that what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah said, that the batin, you know, for every zahir there is a batin, for every apparent existence there is a hidden reality, and the batin of fasting is liqa'ullah. The batin and hidden reality of fasting is meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just have a look at what the Holy Prophet has said. Actually, it's part of the Hadith al-Qudsi, the conversation that took place between Allah and the Prophet, so, other than the Holy Quran. So actually, it is a statement of Allah which has been told to us by the Prophet, that as-sawmu li, Allah had said that fasting belongs to me. Wa ana ajzi bihi, and I am the one who will reward it. And my teacher was saying, for none of the ibadat and worships in Islam you can find this tone and this style of conversation and this type of reward mentioned for any ibadat. For every ibadat you find a reward mentioned. You pray, you get this. You give sadaqah, you get this. Everything is mentioned. You go do Hajj, you get this reward. But when it comes to fasting, there is no hard and fast reward mentioned in the Hadith. Instead, Allah says, fasting belongs to me, and I am the one who will reward. There's nothing mentioned. Which in the eyes of Urafa is such a great deal. And some of the our scholars, some of our ulama actually read the Hadith in a different way. In Arabic language, they, instead of reading it, ana ajzi bihi, I am the one who is going to reward, they say ana ujza bihi, I am the one who will be rewarded. So it's actually Allah is the reward for fasting. Allah Himself is the reward. And that's exactly what my teacher was saying, that the batin and hidden reality of fast is liqa'ullah. So a person who reaches the batin and hidden reality of fasting meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we meet Allah, that's how we deserve to say, that's what we read in the dua of Sahar. Allahumma inni as'aluka min jamalika bi ajmalihi wa kullu jamalika jameel. Oh my Lord, I ask from your beauty, bi ajmalihi, the best of it, wa kullu jamalika, and all of your beauty is beautiful. So we are seeking the beauty of Allah. The person who is fasting is seeking to look at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. As per the schedule, yeah. If you have any questions, you can ask about fasting, any masail, any issues, anything related to that. sure. Actually, I have written those here. First of all is eating and drinking. It doesn't matter we eat or drink what is eatable and drinkable, or we eat or drink what is non-eatable in Islam, or not permissible in Islam to eat or drink. It doesn't matter in all the cases. Of course, the fast will be batil, and if we break the fast with something which is haram to eat, of course, we need to pay triple penalties. So we can come to the penalties section later on. But yeah, so basically anything that we may eat, whether it is an eatable thing or somebody starts eating a rock, a stone, doesn't matter. It's not an eatable thing, but still the ruling is the same. Anything eating and drinking is the first thing that invalidates the fast. Sexual relationship in the Islamic definition of it, that's the second. Third of all, masturbation, that makes the fast invalid and batil. Of course, if somebody does this kind of haram during the fasting, then he also has to pay triple penalties. That means because he's breaking the fast through a haram. So 60 fastings in lieu of breaking one fast. First penalty is to pray, is to do 60 fastings, 31 without gap, and the rest of the 29 can be with gaps. Second penalty, which he also is supposed to do, is that providing food to 60 miskeen mu'min people. And third of all, setting free one slave, which we don't have slaves right now. Islam eradicated that evil problem of the society. But yeah, so and then in addition to that, he has to do one qada, of course, for missing out on one fasting. He has to do one qada as well, and plus the istighfar. So this is about breaking the fast through any haram. So fourth of all, al-iftira ala Allah wa Rasul wa al-anbiya wa al-a'imma alayhi salatu wa salam. That means slandering, tuhmat, ascribing anything, any word, any statement, anything to the Prophet. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said this and this and this. He never said that. You don't have any authentic hadith in your hand, but you are just saying it, just because you heard. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. You're not supposed to say anything in the name of Allah or the Prophet or any of the prophets of God or any of the Imams. Or, you know, so we're not supposed to say anything or relate anything to them, any tuhmat, any slander to them. Yeah. So this is going to, and even about Hazrat Zahra, according to Al-Ihtiyat Al-Wujubi, Ihtiyat Al-Wajib, even if you say anything about Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha, according to Ihtiyat Al-Wajib, your fast will be batil. And not just that, but of course you have to do the triple penalty, how I explained, because then in these cases you would have broken your fast with a haram thing, slander on Ahlul Bayt and Prophets. So extremely big haram. Fifth of all is allowing the dust to reach into your throat. If the dust reaches all of a sudden, unintentionally, that's not your fault. It doesn't invalidate your fast either. But if you are negligent, you know that there's a dust around you where you are standing, or you're there and there's some dust around you, or, you know, then you need to close your mouth. If you are not careful about that and you allow the dust to enter into your throat, it will be counted when you are careless. It will be counted you are intentionally allowing the dust to enter. So if you intentionally allow the dust to enter into your throat, that will also be batil. Invalidate your fast. Sixth of all, immersing your entire head into water. If you go for swimming, or if you are in your house, bathroom, tub, if you immerse your full head all at once into the water, your fast will be batil. If you immerse part of your head, it will not be batil. But make sure nothing enters into your mouth. Seventh of all is remaining on janabat. If you have ghusl janabat wajib on you, remaining on janabat situation, or for the woman remaining on hayz and nifas till the time of adhan of fajr prayers arrives. If the time of fajr prayers arrives and you are on your hayz or nifas or janabat and you didn't do the ghusl intentionally, or if the time was short and you woke up late and it's so close to the time of adhan of fajr from where we start our fasting, and you woke up late and you got to do tayammum to save the fast of that day, but you didn't do neither the ghusl nor the tayammum, of course your fast will be batil. Eighth of all is those people who have constipation. There are some medical procedures in which they use liquid things for that. So the use of liquid medication against the constipation is that that type of use will invalidate the fasting. And ninth and the last of all is throwing up intentionally, al-qay or istifrag, throwing up intentionally. If somebody intentionally throws up, his fast will be batil. If it's unintentional, you have the nausea situation, and unintentionally you end up throwing up, that's not a problem. But make sure if you unintentionally, this situation of nausea happens and you throw up, whatever comes in your mouth, you need to throw it out as soon as possible. You cannot take any part of what comes out into your mouth, you cannot take it back into your throat. If you take it back into your throat, you have to pay triple penalties, because eating what comes out from your mouth is not permissible. You have to throw it out. Or if blood comes out in throwing, that's also breaking the fast through a haram, because eating or drinking blood is a haram in Islam. Some people, when some blood comes out of their finger, they start sucking it. Isn't that right? That's haram, that's not part of Islam. So drinking blood is haram in Islam. So if you do any kind of thing in which you take what comes out in your while you throw up, then that will have a penalty as well. So you have to basically make sure you don't throw up intentionally. Unintentionally is not a problem. Let's go ahead. No. You can fast if you are sick. If that's your question, then why the guy is fasting if he's sick? Is that your question? Well, every sickness is not up to the level where you need to quit fasting. A sickness which causes mashakkat, al-haraj al-shadid, how we call it, unbearable, intolerable harm, quote-unquote. Any illness which causes an intolerable harm for you, unbearable harm for you, that type of illness allows, if you have that sort of illness or that severe illness, then you are allowed not to fast. You should not fast, actually. Not just you are allowed, but you should not fast, because Allah doesn't want an unbearable harm, an intolerable harm to affect you. Allah doesn't want that. But just suppose I have some headache. It's an illness, but it's not an unbearable harm, so I should fast. Exactly, that's correct. Yeah, your saliva is okay. This is part of your own body, and you can drink your own saliva. It's not haram. But if you discover there is some particle of food remaining in your mouth, as soon as you discover that, then you have to throw it out, of course. Excuse me. But just the saliva, that's not a problem. That's okay. you can drink it. He said 31. Okay. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.